Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
All right, we're back. A little month off, but a lot has happened since we were last here. Obviously, crushed Louisville, which, first off, it was my score was looking really good, 56-7 going in the fourth. It actually ended up being more your score, which was, what, 56-21?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was. We're pretty spot on that. And we knew it was coming. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Louisville's not good.
No, the fact that we were under, well, we were dogs, weren't we, going into it? And it was like, it's just insane to me that anyone thought that Louisville's defensive line has changed in the last 2 years.
Right.
It really, both lines of scrimmage for them, because, I mean, even their offensive line, which they've tried to band-aid up a little bit, was not anywhere in near the caliber that Kentucky has on defensive line. So, it's Louisville's a long way away. And obviously, since we've been, they've also lost their bowl game. So they're just a big dumpster fire.
Just to put how awful their defense line was, we almost had a touchdown on an 8-yard QB sneak.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and then how disrespectful, the most disrespectful L's down I've ever seen in my life was the one smoke laid on him.
Yeah.
He skipped along dancing. It was quite the night for Will Levis. You know, since then, obviously, we found out Will Levis is coming back, and we've had a top 10 recruiting class, which I've never in my entire life ever see that.
Right.
You know, big signings, kind of a crazy signing day with Goodwin and everything, but it all worked out for Kentucky. We got him signed. He's on. Michigan State fans, awfully chesty, even though they're not that good. Again, it was overall, it's been a great month for Kentucky. Mark Stoops got an extension, sticking around. Big time stuff, big time momentum going on for Kentucky football. And now it leads us to this bowl game against a really good team.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go ahead, Mike.
It's a very solid team that's really good at turning the ball over, or turning people over.
Yes, they're a very good defensive team. They're coached really well. Coach's been there a long time. They're just overall a really good, a solid program. I mean, really good historical program. A lot of the Big Ten teams have really good, solid, like, programs historically. And you know, I was overlooking their schedule before we got on here, and they really don't have a lot of great wins, but they have a lot of good wins, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for us, for the fact that I think it's going to be a bunch of smash mouth football.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, this is the type of football that we're accustomed to until this year with Kentucky football, and it's kind of playing defense and running the ball. And that's what Iowa does. That's their identity. They run the ball. They play really good defense. And you know, give them credit. They've been consistently 9+ wins, 7+ wins every year ain't their coach. And again, I mean, they haven't had their best win, I think, overlooking their schedule, was Iowa State. They beat Nebraska, if you want to count them as a decent team. Penn State. I mean, those are good teams, but I think Iowa State, to me, was the one that stood out to me. That was their best win. But again, I mean, Kentucky's had a bunch of Kentucky's the same way. Their schedule, they beat a bunch of solid teams, but no one great.
Yeah, a couple of eligible teams, but nobody great, like you said.
Yeah, no one like 9-10 win type of team. But yeah, a bunch of bold eligible teams. I think seven of their 9 wins was against bowl eligible teams or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's, again, Kentucky football, it has really a lot of momentum going. A top 10 recruiting class. You got this Citrus Bowl, which we thought after losing to Tennessee that would be the ceiling. Well, we reached the ceiling, right? So everything kind of panned out for us. And I'm glad to be back to Citrus Bowl. It's a good bowl. It's a big time payoff if you win. And it's just overall, if you're not going to make New Year Six, that's the next top bowl, right? So Kentucky made it to that.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I mean, if we're not going to get New Year Six, like you said, Citrus is the best one.
I think I saw the most ridiculous thing on Twitter where a guy said that, I mean, none of these games matter, or you know, if you're not in the New Year Six or you're not in the playoff, the games don't matter and the kids don't really care. I don't really buy into that. I get into the bowl season. I like it. It's really important for practices. You get a whole month extra of practicing. That alone is beneficial to anything that you can do, because all these other teams that aren't in bowls aren't practicing. What do you say?
Sets you up for having a successful next year.
Yeah, I agree. And then you get the young guys, you get to see what you got next year. I mean, you'll see, and we, obviously we've seen Pascal now. We're worried he may not be in the game, but he is going to play. Yeah. You know, you get to see those guys, Pascal's, McCall's, and guys like that. But usually with Stoops, he works in, at least we from years I've played or seen Stoops coach, he works in the guys that are going to be playing next year. We'll probably see, yeah, we'll see McCall and stuff like that. But you'll see a heavy dose of Justin Rogers. You'll see a heavy dose of linemen coming in there, replacing the guys. Because he does that for a couple reasons. One, you obviously don't want a guy getting hurt. A guy's going to play next year or next level. You don't want him getting hurt in a ball game.
Exactly.
And then two, you want to see what you got. I mean, you want to see who's going to be your guys for next year, who's going to step up. And we've seen it with other guys, obviously. We've seen it with Chris Oakes back in the day. Yeah. We see it, you know, with Square and guys that you did. Well, the guy came in and had to get a good bowl game. So, you know, no nice motivation for next year.
Yeah.
The big thing with Kentucky is they've had a lot of good, they have a lot of solid transfers that they're in on. Obviously we've had transfers come in and really finding out what happens. One of the dominoes falls for next year, and that's having Will Levis back. Huge. That was the top target. I would even say Will Levis at this point where the program's at, is probably the top target. And I know Wandell Robinson is a hell of a player, and obviously is probably your second best player that if he comes back, wow, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because you also got a new Robinson kid from Virginia Tech coming in. That would be a nice little complimentary football for them.
I'd be shocked if Wandell comes back.
Who'd you say? You'd be shocked if Wandell? He said he doesn't have a decision yet. I don't see how much his draft stock will increase with him coming back. But you know, time will tell.
Unless he wins the Heisman next year, I don't see him improving much.
I mean, he's kind of what he is at this point. I do think there is something to be said about him having a whole nother year as a wide receiver and being able to put up numbers that might boost him up. But we're not talking like jumping from the third or fourth round to the second or first round. I should take that back. We're not talking about going from the third or fourth and going to the first round. I mean, you're coming back. He comes back. He probably goes in the second round.
Yeah.
I think that's probably his ceiling. I'm not a pro prospect or anything like that. He definitely has the things that pro athletes or pro wide receivers are now in the NFL. Very fast. It gets elusive. He gets runs good routes, good hands. You know, obviously a leader. That's the kind of stuff you look for in the NFL. But I don't know how much someone's going to waste a first or even a second round pick on a guy that's going to probably play slot receiver. And the NFL,
right.
But I mean they took Lynn Bowden at third round. I don't know, was it second round? He was second round, wasn't he?
I think so. Well, you're the Dolphins fan.
Well, he got drafted by the Raiders though, so he got traded to us. But yeah, I think it was a second or third round pick. But that's about where he's going to land. And if he comes back, I don't know what's going to be beneficial there. I mean, is there that much of a difference between third round and second round? I don't know. I don't think so.
Back it makes Will Levis a first rounder.
See, that's the thing. Will Levis, he has plenty of room of like, yeah. Well, he shows he can run and stuff like that, which they want in the NFL now. And then when he has to, and then but he's also shown he's got a really big time arm. And you know, if he can show a whole other year of running this style offense. And you know what's the crazy part is? I was listening to Roll Call or whatever the other day, and they talked to Bidette. And a couple other guys that were, you know, former players that are there from Florida, you know, guys like that. And he said that what Cohen is doing here, he is running an NFL offense.
Yeah.
And this is what they're just stuff they're doing here at UK is stuff they're doing in the NFL. If you can run this, if you can play good in this offense, you're gonna be just fine in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome for recruiting. So and that's like I said, it's the definitely those are the two big dominoes. Obviously, if you get C-Rod back, I love that. and obviously the top target was keeping Mark Stoops, which I had never. Me and you have been saying this, 5 years now that he's never going anywhere. Maybe Iowa when they're opened up, maybe Ohio State, but I just don't see him jumping ship.
Worries me. But even then, man, I don't think he goes anywhere. I mean, he's going to have – it's going to be the Mark Stoops field by the time he retires if he stays.
Oh, yeah, and I think he kind of likes that. I mean, he made the comment that, you know, Stoops brothers stay at their one place, whatever.
Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops stayed forever.
Yeah, and he's been in last night. They won. I mean, Oklahoma won last night, yeah. And you know, good for Bob Stoops still doing his thing. But definitely, they're loyal to their programs. I mean, his dad was what, Youngstown State his whole life.
Yeah, just I think so.
So, you know, obviously his brother Mike, he's been around, but I mean, it wasn't by choice. Let's put it that way.
I can't remember if it was Arizona State or Arizona, but he would stay there forever.
Yeah, Arizona was, he was a head coach there. And of course, he was defensive coordinator at Oklahoma, all that stuff. But that was big time. You know, obviously getting Brad White back too, that's another big time steal for us. I really do think there was interest there in Notre Dame. I don't know what happened at the end there, but Brian Keller loves him some Kentucky defensive coordinators because he gets Matt House and which is fine. Matt House has been great. That's why I thought we should have got if Brad White left.
Kentucky of the West.
What'd you say?
LSU's about to come to Kentucky of the West.
Yeah, apparently. But yeah, I mean, Brad White is, and I don't care what anyone says, Brad White's defenses have been great. His recruits coming in have been fantastic. Obviously, if he would have panned out better, if Brad White would have left, he would have gave it to Summerall. But, you know, he's gone. That's a big-time loss for us recruiting-wise. Yeah. But hopefully they'll replace him with another big time recruiter and get credit to Summerall. He's staying around for the bowl game. So
it seems like he's always improved. So
yeah. Yeah. I do think Kentucky needs to make a change the defensive backs, but I trust Stoops' staff. Stoops has done something. One of the things that he has always done great here was bringing really good coaches. Trust Stoops's, judgment on the position coach and stuff. He's just done a really good job hiring him. So time will tell if they replace the defensive backs coach or not. I don't know if they will or not.
The guy's not doing a good job. Stoops is such a DB guru that, you know, if he thinks he's teaching them right, they're just not executing, then I think he keeps on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do too. I like the thing, like I said, like they've had a lot of people drafted out of the defensive back position. So it's kind of hard to judge the new coach on that, but in place of late hire, stuff like that. So, yeah. But we just didn't see that development like we usually have at that position this year. But like I said, time will tell.
No, next year I think is where you really judge them.
Yeah, I agree. And they're gonna find some more DBs to help out that unit. So, I don't know. But on to the bowl game. We've already touched on it a little bit. Iowa runs the ball very good. Mike obviously said that they're very good defensively.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be. I personally don't think Kentucky's gonna have much problem with him, but I could be wrong. You know, we got to get the player coming out last night saying that this is a big time game for Kentucky because they haven't been in a bowl game in a long time. Like, what planet does that guy live on?
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's trying to give a jab there or what, but definitely pretty stupid comment to make before. The funny thing is, man, is Vince Morrow seeing that stuff and he tags all his playmakers.
I know, that's what I love. I love the big dog. He's probably my all time favorite assistant coach in UK football.
Oh yeah, he does kind of make his identity is all over the football team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They all play with his swagger and they all have Mark Stoops' work ethic.
Yeah, that's what's made Kentucky different. You know, it's us against the world mentality that he's brought here. And it's kind of, again, I mean, it's incredible to watch this transition of this team. It's unreal. But yeah, they do have a running back that's run over 4,000 yards. I mean, a guy that's a pretty good running back. He's averaging 4.5 yards per carry. You know, he's got 6 touchdowns. They also have They have a quarterback that's winning for over 1,000 yards, threw for 9 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, which, like I said, they're not overwhelming offensively. It's more so their defense has been very good.
Field position.
What did you say?
They beat you by their defense turning you over and setting them up in good
position. Yeah, I think at one point in the season, when they were – because they started off 6-0, I think, too, 6 or 7-0. And I think at one point in the season, they were leading the whole country in turnovers, if I'm not mistaken.
First half of the season, they were, I know.
So, it's, again, they they are definitely coached very well on the defensive side of the ball, and it's something, you know, something that you get, you have to pay attention to, because Kentucky comes out and lays an egg. I mean, Kentucky came out and lost to Mississippi State. Yeah. They looked horrible in their bowl game. And there's also other teams that Kentucky's lost to, Tennessee, stuff like that, that to me are not very good, are not as good as Kentucky, but yet here we are, you know, with two losses against teams we shouldn't have. And that's what could happen with this Iowa team.
Yeah.
Kentucky is a 3-point favorite. I think that's pretty accurate.
I think as long as Kentucky is Will Levis, actually, I'm not even going, Will Levis doesn't throw interceptions, I think we win this game.
I do too. I do think that three is a good number, because that's very well probably what it's going to be around. But then a part of me feels like Kentucky's going to blow them out. And it's not because – it's only because that I don't think Iowa – they can match us defensively, but I don't think they can match us offensively, if that makes sense. I just don't think Kentucky – I think Kentucky's defense is kind of rolling right now.
Yeah, they're playing pretty – they're playing with a lot of confidence, and the offense especially. Our offense is playing with a whole lot of confidence at the moment.
And Stoops against Big Ten teams. That's – can't be ignored either.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets fired up for those Big Ten, because those are people forget that where we recruit at is Big Ten country.
Yeah.
So it's big time. Those kids that we recruit, you know, the Ohio kids, stuff like that. A lot of those kids grew up watching. Well, probably not as much as we did as kids, but those kids were watching. You know, they were in Big Ten countries. So they watched a lot of Big Ten football.
As you think about it, dude, they have a whole Big Ten network now, and that's probably all they got growing up. You know, they don't live in the South, so they don't get SEC.
Yeah, I mean, if you're from Michigan, you're from Ohio, you're watching Michigan, Ohio State, and they're playing, you know, Michigan State's, Michigan's, the Iowa's, all those big Penn States, all those big teams. We're also going to the Pennsylvania and recruiting. You know, we grew up watching the SEC because of Kentucky, but if you grew up as an Ohio State fan, you grew up watching these other teams.
Yeah.
Or whoever, wherever you're from. And obviously, it's a big game for Stoops personally, because he went to Iowa.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's this way to move the program forward. Now, if they lose the game, will they lose some momentum? I don't know. I don't know how much momentum, outside of getting extra reps in a bowl game, I don't know how much momentum you really put into.
I think losing a bowl game, unless you just get destroyed.
Yeah.
I don't think losing a bowl game loses momentum. I think you can only gain momentum. Does that make sense? It's either you stay even or you gain it.
Yeah. And I will say, for Kentucky football reasons, it would be good for Kentucky to go in here and win, because with what we have coming back, you can kind of say, well, they're in the top 25. We've talked about this year how important it is to start in the top 25 in the playoffs. I mean, Notre Dame, for God's sakes, beat absolutely no one, and they're in New Year Six.
Exactly.
I mean, because they just basically lost to the one good team they played, Cincinnati, and this hung around. This beat the teams they're supposed to beat. So if Kentucky, you know, next year loses a game to someone they're not supposed to, they just kind of hang around, you still have a shot for a New Year Six and playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing is, and Kentucky has a really good chance next year to really go to New Year Six and probably beyond. I don't want to be the guy, but I mean, Georgia's losing a lot. Florida, we see Florida's finished below Vandy in recruiting. Just put that in perspective real quick.
Yeah.
Now that's not all totally over with. I'm sure they'll sign some people by the late signing day, but I mean, right now, Florida is below Vandy. Florida's lost UCF. Now that's it. See, stuff like that. Florida's momentum is nothing. Like a bowl game today for Tennessee would be big for them. It's like, kind of move them on. But I think it's big time for like Tennessee to build their momentum. But like you said, I think bowl games, yeah, they help you, but I don't think it hurts you at all unless you get blown out. Like you said.
Lose a bowl game with all your back, you know, with your next year starters, it's really not that big of a deal, because you're getting them ready for next year.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I said, I think it's more important for Kentucky to win so they can start in the top 25. But I think regardless of the outcome of this game, I think they'll be in the top 25 to start next year, because they probably have the second or third best, maybe the top best offensive coordinator and a quarterback coming back.
Yeah, I was going to say our offense next year is going to be legit.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't even know who all is coming back for sure. If Wandell Robinson comes back, obviously, that makes things a lot better. But again, I do think that Stoops is fired up. I think his team wants to be there.
Yeah.
So, and I give him credit for that too, because there's teams that don't ever want to be at a bowl game, and they can't get their guys together or ready or whatever. But give them credit that every year when they go to bowl games, he has them ready to go, some sort of chip on their shoulder, find something for them to hang their hat on to go play football.
Right.
So, anyways, so what's your who's your offensive MVPs?
Offensively, I think, like I said, it all comes down to Will Levis. Will Levis doesn't turn the ball over, and I think he throws for a bunch of them. You know, I think he just does Will Levis shit. You know what I mean? Like, he just does, like, Cowboy shit. Just kind of So, I think it comes down to Will Levis, so he's my offensive MVP. Defensively, I'm going to go with Justin Rogers. I think he's going to get a lot of rotation this game.
You're probably right on that. Because I just think McCall's now pretty much gone.
Jordan Davis. I mean,
what now?
I think he's the best defense, best nose tackle besides Jordan Davis.
You talk about Justin Rogers?
Yeah. Oh no, McCall.
Yeah, McCall's been pretty awesome since he's been here. He had some issues with obviously this year getting injured was not part of his plan, but he also had some issues with his weight and staying in shape. But he's slimmed down this year. He looked great all this season.
And I think he's reached his ceiling. So,
I definitely think that too. He's reached his ceiling for sure.
He limited his reps this game.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's about him going to that next level.
Yeah, and I think he will go to the next level. There's a big need for guys like him.
Yeah.
So this very depth. I mean, just a depth alone. It's very, you know, you had Hoskins and Bohanna get drafted in the 6th, 7th round because of depth.
Exactly.
And both of them are playing now. So both of them get reps now.
Yeah.
I just think I think at the end of the day, you're right. I think Justin Rogers is going to have a good day. I think offensively to me, I agree with you, Will Levis. I think Wanda Robinson is going to have a huge game. No Ali, no Epps for this game. Obviously, got in a car wreck. We hope they're both okay. Don't know really the circumstance around it. Kind of weird to me that if you get a car wreck and all of a sudden you're not playing, are you hurt or are you in trouble or what did you do? I don't know. I don't want to speculate whatsoever. But at the end of the day, neither one of those guys are playing, so it's going to be Wandell Robinson show for sure. The whole game. So I will go Will Levis. I think Wanda Robinson's probably going to be the MVP, but I will go Will Levis because he's got to make the throw. And then I'll go off defensively. I think Square is due a big game. I think he's going to be back next year. So I think he's going to probably want to show out and maybe potentially not have to come back next year. So I'm going to go with him. Yeah. I like to see him play. He's just been kind of a roller coaster ride kind of for him. Sometimes he's been awesome, and then other times you're like, where's he at?
Yeah.
I do think, if Pascal is playing the whole game, I would definitely be taking him, but I don't think he's going to be limited on his reps.
that dude's legit, and he's going to be playing next year on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. He's going to be anywhere from first round to fourth round pick to me, or fourth rounder for me. Because a very, very big need for someone like him and the leadership qualities that he has.
Yeah, plus he's just a good guy to have on your team.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a guy that you would see play for, like, the Patriots or something.
Yeah.
So, a high-character guy. Another guy's unbelievable. Been unbelievable for this program. I mean, really. The guy defeated cancer, hung around, had a great season, had the most memorable player during a Florida game I've ever seen defensively. And I know Josh Allen was fantastic, but man, Pascal was pretty damn good too that game.
Oh yeah, it was.
It's like I said, this year it always comes down to this every year. We see guys that leave and leave their mark on the program. I think Pascal's mark on the program will always be his heart and his leadership.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's we hate seeing those guys go. Of course, we'll have a post game after the bowl, regardless win or loss. That
like the Josh Allens and Josh Pascals, their style and leadership rubs off on the younger guys. And so now we have another Josh Pascal somewhere in the waiting. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they rub off on, and you'll find out who the next leader is probably by next year.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's the thing. They leave their mark, their fingerprints on everything. It's just so.
Pascal learned from Allen, and Allen learned from what, Dupree, probably, you think?
Yeah, probably around there. Yeah, I would say so.
Like, Like, it's just, you can see it just being passed down our defense.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, you're right, man. It's incredible to see these guys grow up, and that's kind of the thing we miss in basketball, watching guys grow up, but in football we still get to watch guys grow up and become NFL players or whatever, first rounders. You know, Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen was a 2-star coming in, and the guy was seriously was. And then I'm not just saying this because I'm a Homer Kentucky fan, but was literally a guy that changed football games. I've never seen that before. From any defensive player, he won games by his pressure. I mean, the Texas A&M game, he almost won that game just single-handedly.
Dude, the Missouri game, Missouri didn't get a first down in the second half.
It was incredible to watch that guy.
Down there from the opposite side of the field for losses.
It's incredible, dude. he's been pretty solid in the league. I know he's on a pretty terrible team, but pretty solid in the league. But again, I mean, the Josh Pascals, those guys getting drafted, that's so important to our program. And then so that Stoops can go around and say, well, look at these guys I've got in the league here.
Yeah.
So like what does Iowa do? If we lose, what does Iowa do?
Iowa turns us over and just sets themselves up in good field position.
Yeah, I agree with that. They turn us over is a big thing. Kentucky beats themselves, yeah.
I think we're good enough to stop their offense if they have to go yards or 75 yards. But I don't know if we can stop them if they only have to go 30 or 40 or 50. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I do. I do know what you mean. I definitely think I definitely think our defense has improved and are confident right now. But any defense, no matter what it is, you keep giving up short fields, it puts pressure on them.
Yeah.
And you change your defensive philosophy where they, you know, then you're behind the sticks almost, they like to say.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on that. Obviously we got to stop the run. Which for the most part this year we've been okay on. There has been games where like head scratch, like the Mississippi State game, we're like, well, I think that was like, well, how are you not prepared for that? But
Mississippi State and Tennessee losses, those teams are jack on hides. Those teams can play with just about anybody and also lose to anybody.
Well, they're also very well coached and have a very weird offenses.
Yeah.
That's hard to – they have such a huge playbook that it's hard to play in for those guys. But again, you're right, jack on high. I mean, Mississippi State 2 years ago – well, last year, they came in and threw, what, 6 picks or something like that. So
beat A&M, who's a pretty solid team this year, and then – or yeah, beat A&M, then would lose to their bowl game yesterday. Like,
yeah, no kidding. And they also lost Louisiana Tech and stuff. Again, I agree with you, man. I think just help defense out by not turning the ball over and giving up short fields.
Absolutely.
Field position and stuff. I think all Kentucky really has to do is don't beat themselves. I think Kentucky's better than Iowa. And I know that their fans don't think so, which is fine. I mean, every team's going to think that their team's better. But I just think talent-wise and the opponents that Kentucky has played are far better. I just think, like, Big Ten football compared to SEC football is so, like, night and day. It's quite – I mean, this talent gap is just there, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have teams in there. Like, Michigan's pretty solid. Ohio State's usually pretty solid. But it's just the talent gap between after your top-tier teams are is big.
I personally think it's a good matchup for us because they don't want to throw the ball that much, and that's where our weakness has been is throwing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
That's not what they want to do.
I mean, they got smoked by a couple teams this year. They got smoked by Michigan, like 42-7, I think.
Yeah, they got beat pretty bad against Michigan.
So I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like they're kind of jackal high as well. But again, if Kentucky just comes out and plays their game, they'll be just fine. What's your prediction? We'll get to the prediction.
I'm gonna go, dude. I think it's gonna be a close one. I kind of like 421 Kentucky.
14-21.
No, 24
to what? 24 to 21. Okay. 24-21. I'm going to go a little higher. I think it's going to be 28-8. Yeah, it's 8. We're going to get 2-point conversion. 28-10.
28-10. I like it. I don't know. I can see this Iowa team either getting – it depends on who plays the most reps. Now, if we play our guys like Pascal and McCall a lot, I like that score.
I think Kentucky wants to win this game. Obviously, every team wants to win a game, but I think Kentucky, like their players, want to win this game. So I think they'll do what they have to do to win it. Like I didn't think I thought when we played Virginia Tech, we wouldn't see a lot of guys play But I mean, all the starters played the whole game, so it was close. Now, if it stays close, like your score, they'll probably play the whole game. But it gets like my score, they'll probably spread it out. But
yeah,
I just think Kentucky's just
better. Do you remember the Penn State last Citrus Bowl, actually, the Penn State game where we jumped up big on them with our starters and then we like Benny and everybody, and then it got really close to that pulling back in, and I think it's gonna be a lot like that.
Yeah, I think when Josh Allen only played like what 15, 20 snaps, something like that. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot.
I mean, maybe a quarter or two. So he didn't play a ton. And I remember, I remember with Benny Snell, he got the record and was pretty much done.
Yeah, they let him get the record and then pulled him.
Yeah, so again, it's just I think Kentucky's better than Iowa, and we should beat them. But if we don't, I don't think it's the end of the world. So, but I'm excited for it, man. Obviously, bowl games. I love bowl games. I love watching Kentucky play in bowl games, and I wish it was the Sugar Bowl and stuff like that, of course. But another year, memorable year.
New Year's Day, watching Kentucky football on New Year's Day is one of the greatest things in the world. So,
especially when it's on a Saturday.
Absolutely.
And, you know, another season for us, dude. We're going to be wrapping up.
Yeah, we'll have a wrap-up show here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we've got 15 years of going to those bowl games for a consistent basis. And this year was definitely a memorable one. I mean, I don't know, we're going to get more into this, but definitely the loudest I've ever heard it was that Florida game.
Absolutely. That Florida game, I'll never hear it louder. It was amazing.
That blue and white chant, and you can hear it. They say you can hear it 2-3 miles away.
Yeah.
Incredible.
You know, of somebody like 3 miles away, and you could hear it like you're in the stadium.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. I didn't have a voice for a whole week.
Yeah,
that's never happened to me.
But that return kick, that's what I think my voice went screaming on that. For a touchdown.
I watched that video, and it's just I just watched it just a couple of days ago, and when he realizes that he's gonna maybe go all the way, then the crowd gets really loud. I can still just remember the feeling like, oh man, he's going to take it. You know, I just remember it was an incredible experience. It really was. I'll never forget it.
I know.
Anyways, bowl game, one more game. Get to watch these guys go out and play. Get to watch Josh Pascoe for one more game.
Yeah.
Get to watch some of the legendary guys, Fortner, Horsey.
ABC Rod's last game, Wondell.
Yeah. I mean, some guys that have definitely are going to be going down. I mean, every year we talk about, oh, this guy's one of the greatest ever to come in here. I mean, gosh, how many times are we going to hear this? You know, definitely probably had the best offensive lineman we've ever had in our history.
Yeah, Kennard.
It's just the last time to see some of these guys. You know, when I say Kennard, I said Horsey, but he's going to be back. Horsey's going to be back. Fortner and Kennard. Last time to see those guys. I mean, like I said, you're definitely.
D. Wondell, who was the last true receiver since Jeff Badet.
Pretty much. I mean, Juice was pretty good. They had some pretty solid wide receivers.
Badet. After that, though, we hadn't really had those playmaker receivers.
We haven't had a great wide receiver like him. And someone might come along and say, they were probably Randall Cobb.
Yeah. Well, we had Bowden, but Bowden got forced into quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Someone's going to say, oh, Bowden. But Bowden made his money by that last year of him being a quarterback.
Bowden was just the best overall player I think we've ever had as far as to do anything, he would do it. I mean, his first play as a Kentucky Wildcat, he got kicked out for targeting.
You're right on that, dude. I mean, as far as overall talent and this pure athleticism and this I'm better than you.
Yeah.
It was Lynn Bowden.
Stoops always called it the alpha dog mentality, and he had it.
Oh yeah. And I'm telling you, man, that guy was incredible in the open field. He was doing the NFL last year, and he only played like 4 or 5 games for the Dolphins last year because of, obviously he got put in there because he had a bunch of injuries last year. But I mean, when he was in there, he was Tua's favorite target. He was. I mean, he was elusive. Yeah, so,
I know we're not off topic now, but just the whole, when you looked at Stoops in the Missouri game, so let me return this punt.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Then he did it again against Penn State, so he said, let me return this.
Yeah, this incredible athlete.
Shot.
Just memories, dude. That's what it's all about, man. So, but anyways, I guess you're going to get back to work, and I'm going to get back to being dad. So, all right, man. Well, I'm Nick.
I'm Mike. Go Cats.